And welcome to Talk of the Rock. I'm your host this week, Jared Griffin. And the Kodiak Economic Development Corporation is a local nonprofit founded in 2021, started with some COVID mitigation funding as part of Kodiak's pandemic recovery plan. And with this vision of rebuilding and restarting and re-energizing, I think it comes straight from your website, Kodiak's future and economic future. Last spring, I spoke with some KEDC representatives. They came on Talk of the Rock to talk about the Kodiak Workforce Development and the Career Expo. And since then, some things have happened. Some more things have happened. We have begun preparing for an additional up to 1,000 new residents coming to the island with a new Coast Guard expansion. KEDC and the City of Kodiak have worked on community land trust to ease pressure on the housing crunch here. They've announced a new storefront improvement program, which is kind of our focus today. And the KEDC is now under some official new leadership. John Whitten was hired as the organization's first executive director. And Melissa Schoenweather has hopped aboard, too, as the associate director. So both John and Melissa are in the studio today to help us talk about the Kodiak Economic Development Corporation and all of these ventures. So welcome.
Well, good afternoon. It's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being inside. It's pretty nasty out there right now. So let's start with the storefront improvement program. This is something just announced last month. And it's in a connection to some, you know, bigger kind of economic things going on right now. But let's just start with that. What is the storefront improvement program?
Well, I'll introduce, if you want, but then I'll turn it over to Melissa, who's actually running the program. But about 9 months ago, Josie Bankey, the deputy city manager, alerted me to a program that's in Soldotna, which is called the Storefront Improvement Program. It's been really remarkably successful over the last 7 or 8 years. And their program is going to be very similar, or is very similar to the one we hope to introduce. And simply it's this, is that the municipality in this case puts up a pot of money, and then that provides matching grants to businesses who are eligible to improve their storefront. So it could be a signage, it could be the doorway, it could be ADA accessibility, anything that will actually enhance the storefront and make it more attractive and make it more enticing to shoppers. And it's been so successful that I think at the last count, they granted over $100,000, but the businesses themselves have not just matched that, but they've actually exceeded that match. So there's been well over $1 million from the business side to match. So it's almost a 10-to-1 ratio back into the businesses. It just got people excited. So Melissa and I started looking at this and said, well, because you've got the Kodiak Marketplace is opening soon, and now it's got the post office and two businesses open now. So this would be an ideal time to catch the wave of excitement and get people interested. And so when Melissa came on board about 3-4 months ago now, I said, your number one project is going to be the storefront improvement. So I'll turn it over to Melissa because I think she's got some really exciting news for you.
Yes, we're excited about the fact that the new marketplace is opening. And one of the goals for the SIP is to allow all of the businesses downtown to feel support. And we have four main goals, which, you know, to promote the revitalization of downtown. And that's not just for tourists. That is primarily for us, we who live here. And as we are encouraging that revitalization downtown, we're looking to support the businesses as they make some of the changes that John has just spoken about to improve their outward facing. And in addition to that, as we have these applications available for people, they're very simple. We wanted to make sure that the hurdles were minimized. And so truly to apply, it's a one-page document. Very easy, very straightforward, and our intent is to connect people quickly with support and to show them that as they're working towards making these changes, that we are here to help them. And I think it's worth mentioning that it's not a KEDC program. We're partnering with the City of Kodiak and CANA for this, and it's wonderful to have these partnerships and these collaborations in all of the projects that we're doing.
And so you said all of the businesses. So this isn't just – so the size of the business doesn't matter. This isn't for small businesses. This is also for franchises, banks, grocery.
Well, it's – the area is the factor that kind of keeps, you know, who is allowed for this first round of the storefront improvement. We're hoping, you know, this is not going to be just a one-and-done activity. It's something that is our first iteration. And so it's the – downtown proper area. And yes, businesses are allowed to apply regardless of their size. Business owners, so the people who actually own the business that is renting from perhaps the building itself, building owners are encouraged to apply. I've been downtown several times introducing myself and giving printed copies of this. And if anybody listening is interested, we have it on our website, kodiakedc.com/SIP, or they can call us and we'd love to come down and meet them and share with them the intent of this matching grant.
Yeah, Melissa mentioned the, you know, the funding, but I should say that, what the funding is. So we received a grant from CANA, actually, late last year, and there's $15,000 from CANA, and there'll be a $15,000 from the city. So a total of $30,000. And, you know, we haven't – obviously, I should also say this is going to be a competitive grant. So, you know, I already anticipate we're going to have more people applying than we can actually have funds. And we want to keep the funds at a meaningful level. You know, it wouldn't be real helpful to give out $500,000. There needs to be something that's enticing, something that really spurs somebody to say, well, I don't mind matching that, and I'll do that. And without this, I probably wouldn't have made the effort. And we've had probably just some really, I think, phenomenal response. People are really excited. And I think from the city perspective, what I understand is that the city has been involved in downtown revitalization for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And this is just in a way to just restart that process. And again, Canada's, this is a community grant we got from them. So this is just pouring money back into the community, I think, to improve, as Melissa said, improve it for all of us. So there's $30,000 total. We don't know how it's going to be allocated, but I would say a minimum of $5,000, maximum of $7,500 grant. So it could be six grants, it could be four grants, or somewhere in between. But we want to give a meaningful amount to people and we will be evaluating these grants. So, you know, the successful winners will have a meaningful amount of money to do something, I think, appropriate with their storefronts.
Absolutely.
There is a sort of, you know, a community pride built into brushing up on the aesthetic appeal of storefronts. Is there a particular local identity or brand that you are encouraging with the projects, or is this really just more interested in the exterior facade, lighting, painting, kind of thing?
Well, it has been mentioned, you know, there are other places that have themes in their downtown area, and that is a great thing to work towards. This first iteration, we just want to help the businesses downtown see that they're worth investing in, and that dollar for dollar, when they invest in themselves downtown, you know, we're coming alongside through this grant to match that. And you will see a return. You know, people do appreciate having a downtown that they can go into, regardless of a theme. You know, we just, we as people who live here want to be able to go to a place that's lit up, that has signage that you can read, has accessibility that everyone can enter in and not have to worry about how do I navigate getting into this building. So, you know, in the future, that would be great to dig in deeper. But for now, those, I think, are really healthy goals for us to have and to encourage.
You know, over the years, there's been, I think, a lack of interest from business owners. A lot of that business owners, or building owners anyway, have been out of town, distant, not here in Kodiak. So what we're seeing now is a generational shift of ownership of businesses. If you look at the Subway building, you know, that's under new ownership. If you look at the North Pacific Medical, under new ownership. So, you know, there's new owners, they're local. I think they're very interested in promoting not just their specific businesses, but also their buildings. And it's easy to sort of ignore some of these things. If you look at the Credit Union One, just recently spent who knows how much, a lot of money to improve their facade, mm-hmm. their outdoor. The Shunack tribe has done the same thing. So this is, I think, all rolled into this. Again, this it's time for change. I think people recognize that. You know, the mall, if you first moved to Kodiak years and years ago, the mall was your downtown. Mm-hmm. And I always looked at the downtown as sort of being like our living room. You know, you invite people in from out of town, you bring them into your living room, we bring them to downtown. So the good news, we've always had an anchor in our downtown, and that's the harbor, St. Paul Harbor. And to your question, I think that's one of the next stages. The Kodiak Maritime Museum has been working on signage. I think we can do a lot to improve that. And if you go to Juneau, they've got some phenomenal signage all around the harbor that talks about the history and everything else. So I think this could be the impetus. This storefront improvement will be the impetus to, I think, just taking pride again in our downtown. You know, we've got the park in front of what used to be Wadlinger's and now Shunack that needs to be worked on. I think this is going to, I think, spur future growth, future development. And as we keep saying, it's a place where all of us should enjoy, not just tourists, but this is our home, and we want it to look like that.
It is. And that sense of a revitalized downtown area is something that across the nation we're seeing that people now are interested in living in an area that is vibrant and full of energy. And then they find careers that support where they want to live. And we all that live here know that Kodiak is a great place to live, and it's a wonderful place to call home. And our downtown should reflect that pride.
Yeah, if you just Google storefront improvement program, Philadelphia, New York City, San Diego are doing some big ones right now. John, you mentioned Saldana. I think Kenai is also doing one at the moment. Saldana was a few years ago.
Right.
It's definitely something that's popping up all over. Storefront improvement program is another project for an organization that is going into its third year now. So let's talk about the need for the organization in general. John, you were very seminal in identifying the need for some kind of economic development group or cooperative or something like that. And that was 2021.
2020, actually.
2020.
So this really, the KADC came about, as you mentioned, just as a response to COVID. And I was asked by the city mayor to create a task force in March of 2020 to determine and really assess the impacts of all the store closures and the layoffs in the community. And we put together very quickly an ad hoc group of about 20 people. In fact, Senator Sullivan actually called in one time, but it's pretty unmanageable. And I think it was pretty easy to tell that people weren't working, stores were closed. You know, the impacts were fairly obvious. But from that was, it whittled down to just four of us, four people. And we created, it was what we weren't in a formal nonprofit at that point, but we actually were created a mechanism to distribute $4.5 million of CARES Act funds to 330 businesses. And that was really the beginning of KADC. And from there, we evolved into a nonprofit, full-fledged nonprofit. It was always a volunteer organization, which has its limitations, as I'm sure you know. You can only sort of expect so much from volunteers, right? And by default, I was the president at the time and remained the president and sort of kept putting kindling on the fire and trying to get things going. And as you mentioned, and Melissa will probably explain a little bit more, we had a very, very successful workforce development collaborative approach, bunch of meetings and training over the high school, but there's more to say on that. But that was one of our first steps. And we also identified our number one need in the community. Number one need is affordable workforce housing. We have teachers, we have doctors, we have nurses, firemen, policemen, returning college students who simply cannot afford to live in Kodiak. Even if they could find a home, which is unlikely, it's not affordable. So our number one focus at KDC right now is looking for solutions to the affordable housing challenge, and I can speak more to that. But from that, we became a 501c3. We just hired Melissa in August, I think. And then it's said, great, we have Melissa, but now what? So the board said, okay, well, you've been president for 3.5 years. Do you want to be the executive director? And they said, well, absent anybody else stepping up, I'll do it. So, but you know, what I learned and I should have realized is that you really need to have full-time staff to actually start to gain traction in programs. Mm-hmm. And so we've got all sorts of things going on. Melissa's just doing phenomenal work on the workforce development, the storefront improvement program. I've been focusing on land trust, focusing on mariculture, and I can speak more to those things. But we've just started to gain steam, gain some synergy. New website that actually creates a new brand for KDC. So, you know, we're looking to be not the Chamber of Commerce. They do great work in their own respective areas. We're not Discover Kodiak. They do their thing. But, you know, we believe that we will be the one of the leading influences on economic development in the community and island-wide, too.
So following up on just what you said, so the chamber has been involved in, you know, economic development, and I think at one point even the borough did some kind of contract with somebody to work on this. I was on the borough committee many years ago, the Kodiak Workforce Regional Advisory Council. So what and those all kind of came and went. So what is it about the staying power that you see with KEDC? What's different?
Well, I think Melissa will agree to this, but I think for me, the number one thing is this is my home. I've lived here for, people always say how long they've lived here, but I've lived here a long time. But I think it's passion for our community, passion to see that this is a better place. And it doesn't happen without effort, without vision. So I think the difference with some of those organizations is that while they probably had good intentions, it was timing too, right time. I think it's the right time, the right place. There's certainly lots of money available, but that money takes work to find that money. So, but I think we've synthesized our vision down to four or five more narrow goals. I didn't even talk about considering Kodiak as a gateway to the Arctic. That's one of our more distant goals. But I'll let Melissa talk. But I think that's it. It's the passion for Kodiak.
Absolutely. I agree with John. I think that when you come to Kodiak, whether you've lived here for a long time like John, or for us, a long time has been, you know, 7 years, which for our family is a long time, people come here and they love it. And we, KEDC, are able to commit our energy towards very key strategies that are limited strategies. You know, we're very intentional with what our next step is, what is our next collaborative effort that we want to see. And a lot of our projects have a very easy to identify synergy. John is excited in sharing about the community land trust, how we need to have affordable housing for our workers here, our professionals. We've seen that the hospital just built places for the people that they want to have work here. We need that. And in conjunction with that project is the workforce development project. And having a career expo and job fairs and workforce development, developing our talent that we have locally, we have amazing people here. We need to make sure that we provide an area for them to call home. And we also need to connect them with businesses that speak to the talents that they have. And so the projects that we take on have a very natural connectivity. And I think that comes with having people who can do this as a profession rather than volunteering. It allows you to have a bit more intentional conversations. It's a very exciting time to live in Kodiak, to see the changes that are happening. And even though we have our challenges, I think the challenges that we have are great ones to struggle through and solve. So.
And there are other communities in similar situations, and we can
absolutely
look at them for models. What works and what hasn't worked. I had mentioned let's take we've got, I don't know, about 7 minutes left, and I know that you've mentioned the community land trust a couple times. So give us the I don't know if you've heard that it's a phrase called ELI5. Explain it like I'm five, like I'm 5 years old. Community land trust.
John can nail that.
Yeah, sure, glad to do that. So the community land trust is a model that's used nationally. It's been used successfully in Alaska, and it's simply this: is that a community recognizes a housing shortage. And then there's typically a partnership between a municipality, in this case it would be the city of Kodiak, hopefully be the borough if we can be successful, and the the land trust is developed, it becomes an organization that acquires municipal property and then builds homes that are perpetually affordable. And the way that happens is that when you take out some of the cost components, in this case, the land costs, CITCO is able to get some of the development costs taken out through grant funding. Then instead of a house that, say, typically sells in Kodiak for $450,000, this one might sell for $350,000. And that's actually the number we're looking at because we're able to take some of the costs, subsidize the cost through the land costs going away. And then when you actually, if you buy a home, a land trust home, first you have to be income eligible to do that. If you're too high or too low, you don't qualify. You have to be in that workforce level. And then you agree, when you buy that home, you agree that when you sell it, if you say after 5 years, because this is not going to be your forever home, but after 5 years you've accrued $100,000 in equity, you only get to keep 20. So that home perpetually stays affordable. So now instead of selling for 350, it sells for 370, but it's still in the affordable range. So I think a model has worked very successfully, and we want to make sure that we continue to attract workforce individuals and families in particular to this community. That's one way, not the only way, but mm-hmm. one way.
Mm-hmm. And housing is always a question, too, with the Coast Guard base and with their expansion coming. That's something that you've also been looking at the horizon to also. And you've announced a sort of economic roundtable, mm-hmm. I suppose, with the Coast Guard. And this was a week from today.
Yes.
A week from today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be at 11:30 to 1:30. It's by invitation only, so sorry if you didn't get an invitation. But it's really just bringing together the community leaders, municipal leaders, organizational leaders, and the Coast Guard. And they're just going to talk about what are the facts, you know, how many people do we actually think are coming, you know, what are the timelines, and what do we see as the impacts on our infrastructure, whether it's healthcare, teachers, housing, you know, access to the rink at the hockey rink. I mean, you know, what would be the impacts? And some of the good stuff that, you know, that we want to focus on too is that, you know, as more people come to town, there'll be more employees, you know, and typically Coast Guard folks come with their dependents, you know, their health technicians or their dental techs, or they come with skills. And so I think it'll help solve some problems and possibly challenge us as well.
And then, Melissa, I'm also looking to the future. You mentioned the another career expo coming up. This is in a few months, but you're right now currently recruiting businesses that would like to be involved. Are you still in the kind of assessment of maybe I should start with that. How did the spring one go?
The one that they had this – the first one that we launched,
yeah.
And that I believe Mallory and mm-hmm. Cooper came
yep.
on, and that was a great episode. People should go back and listen to that. It was a great opportunity to hear about what their goals were, and it went very well. Very proud of the way that businesses stepped up to come alongside of students that were interested.
And there were 45 students that participated.
Yeah. And the school supported that. And this year I've already spoken with some of the school representatives to hear what their goals are, where they saw areas that we can improve, which we're excited to improve. Who doesn't want to make something better? And the next phase is to connect with businesses. So if there are businesses listening, absolutely reach out to John or I, and we would be able to connect them with what the plans are. But it's looking like we're going to do it again in the spring, in April, and have it over the course of several weeks to teach the students the skills necessary to step into a job, specifically one of the ones maybe they're going to go in shadow, mm-hmm. and then to hear from those businesses exactly what are some things that you need as a student to be thinking about, and to give them a safe space to just experiment. We're not just looking to seniors to be involved. We are looking towards all of the high schools so that they can all have the opportunity to explore what is available here in their own home, and to just think a little bit outside the box. You know, everybody doesn't want to go to college, and those that do want to go to college, great. The ones that are interested in getting right to work, how do we make that happen for them? How do we help them decide and see what is available? Because we have a lot of opportunities here in Kodiak.
We do.
We do.
I think every organization I'm a part of, I mean, looking for help. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's nationally. People mm-hmm. all over are looking for quality people. Kodiak is full. We're rich in talent. We just need to take the time to connect our talent with the people that are looking for them. Mm-hmm. And KADC is very, very hopeful about the next iteration of the Career Expo. And there's a job fair attached to it as well. So it serves not just the high school students and the businesses, but the community at large.
In the short time we have available, if you don't mind, I'm just going to throw out a shameless announcement. But
go for it.
Around
that's why we're here.
Around, yeah, exactly. So around, and you'd say that. Around Comfish, you know, we're planning on an economic forum, an economic forum conjunction with Comfish. But we're actually going to present and the community will be certainly be invited. But we're going to present a business climate survey. It'll address all of these things, you know, just workforce issues, housing issues, and economic indicators. So that's probably sometime in March, but I just wanted to announce that now. We'll have more info on that. Yeah. But we want to just take a look at just what are the economic indicators in Kodiak and how is you as an employer or potential employer, how can you plan for the future and not just look back at what's happened, but how can you plan for the future?
So with all of these pieces, I know we only have – this is a big question. I probably shouldn't be asking it right now. Then to what extent are we seeing a need for just a large, massive, island-wide, comprehensive economic development plan?
Well, there's a thing called the Community Economic Development Plan, SEDS document, that's actually a federal mm-hmm. federal document funded by the EDA. And I think that's always so general. It's not specific enough that one of the things I like to see us do is have a more focused economic development plan. I think that's something in the background I'm working on through the EDA is to get a more island-wide, incorporate the villages because they're such an important part of our community. But that's in the works.
Yeah. Okay, 1 minute left. Let's talk about the storefront improvement program one more time. Melissa, can you give us the details?
KADC is so excited to partner with the City of Kodiak and Canna to offer businesses downtown the opportunity to invest in themselves and have a grant that matches that investment. We're looking for people who are excited about seeing vibrancy and connectivity downtown, and the application is available to fill out and learn more about on our website, kodiakedc.com/SIP, S-I-P for Storefront Improvement Program. And we will accept applications through the 8th of December, so there's plenty of time. The guidelines are comprehensive and hopefully inspiring to get businesses to think about how they can strategically use this matching grant to their advantage. And if they have any questions, they can absolutely reach out to us. They will have the entire year next year, 2024, to put these improvements in place. It's not something that has a very short timeline. It's expansive. And we're eager for this first one to be very successful, so there'll be more in the future.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks again to the Kodiak Economic Development Corporation, John Witten, Executive Director, Melissa Schoenweather, Associate Director. Thank you for taking your lunch on this stormy Tuesday to talk about your organization.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting us.